This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Personal prophecy is one of the gifts that God has given to the body of believers. It says in Ephesians and other places in the Bible that God has given gifts, teachers, preachers, pastors, exhorters, and prophets, so that you will get built up and you will get strengthened and taught and trained in the work of the ministry, and that you will be able to do the ministry. He didn't say the pastors, prophets, teachers, and exhorters were going to do the ministry. He said so that you can do the ministry. And today we have Graham Cook. And here he is as we jump right into the middle of his conference. Graham Cook. We love you, Graham.
Thank you. Oh, double portion. Thank you. Cool. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, God wants to personally school you in every single one of them. I remember when the Lord said to me 30 years ago, he said, Graham, I want to teach you about my kindness. I just thought it'd be a few months. I'm still learning. This is what I've learned. I've learned that he is the kindest person I have ever known. I have not had a day in more than 2 decades. I have not had a single day when God has not said something or done something that's kind in my life. Whatever God is, he is relentlessly. And then he started teaching me about rest and peace. And all I know is that the Prince of Peace came in and never left. And I began to learn rest and peace. And it was at that time that I lost the ability to be worried. I can't remember the last time I was anxious. There's too much majesty going on. See, when you come into fullness, you come into the fullness of who God wants to be for you, but you won't come into that fullness unless you take his nature and his character seriously and you develop the lifestyle. He's making you like him. That means there is an inordinate amount of peace out there that enables you to be so peaceful, you lose the ability to be anxious. That's what it means. And he's been teaching me about joy, seeing everything as a potential for joy, learning how to smile. For me, part of that was learning how to live every day under his smile. And feeling the weight of that smile on days. You know, when Jesus shows up, we all go gaga. He's the biggest distraction there is. But when he shows up, everything lights up. Here's the thing about God making you into his image. When you show up, everything lights up. You are supposed to have a radiant idea of God, a radiant idea of the kingdom, a radiant idea of yourself, and a radiant idea of the church, and a radiant idea of all that we are doing in the earth. So we come to a place where everyone who connects with us, no one's safe from a blessing. No one's safe. Just a throwaway word has significance for someone. And when you come into that place in the Spirit, you know, there's a place in the Spirit set aside for you where you can make the enemy tired and weary and dispirited and discouraged and depressed, requiring therapy. If there is no such place set aside for you, then Jesus isn't Lord. This is what lordship means at the base level. You get to affect the enemy. There's a place set aside for you. This is your inheritance. This is your heritage. And your entry point into all of that are the promises and the prophecies that God has given you. That you learn how to step into those words and you learn how to make them your own, because prophecy gives you a voice. And that voice has three parts to it. Prophecy becomes our heavenly language as we learn to stand before God. It gives you the voice of proclamation. It gives you the voice where you make your own I am statement. So me standing up in my hometown church saying, I am a prophet, something is set into the atmosphere. And it doesn't matter what the response is, because people don't know how to respond to confident Christians. They don't know how to respond to people of certainty. We're uncomfortable by it. So it's not going to be a pleasant experience. But it's not about that. It's about obedience. You have a voice in heaven. Prophecy is your starting point for a conversation with God. You have to proclaim who He is for you. You have to proclaim who you are in Him. You have to receive that identity. You have to embrace it. And then you have to steward it through all your circumstances, because every situation is about training. You have to announce it officially. You have to almost make a decree. Speak it out loud. Your mind needs to hear you saying it. And sometimes we can proclaim it in our praise, in our worship, in our rejoicing, in our thanksgiving. I like to read out my prophecies. And there are some times when the Lord will say, that prophecy you got from that guy in Malaysia, I want you to read it out to me. Because He loves it when you do that. I like reading scripture to God, especially when I'm trying to convince Him about something. You wrote this, right? Just let me read it to you. He likes all of that. Go and read that prophecy to me. You know the one, my favorite. So we have a couple, we always have a favorite on the go. So then I stand there and I read it out to the Lord. And you can hear Him, you can almost feel Him going, I love that word. So, and then when I've read it out, it's like, okay, let's have a conversation. So where are you now in relation to its fulfillment? He knows exactly where I am. He just wants another proclamation out of me. And I love reading out those prophecies and saying, Lord, You said, Lord, You said, Lord, You said, Lord, You said. Remember, You said this. So, because I want to be in the place where resources can be allocated. When we proclaim, we act like a herald. And yet, it sounds like you're blowing your own trumpet. But God gave you one. Blow the thing. When you're blowing a trumpet and you're heralding something, what you're saying is, this is my prophetic word and I agree with the Lord. I receive this word, Lord, and I receive all the resources that come with it. And so then I want to be standing in there, because when you get a prophetic word, it's a language of promise. It's an end to supplication. It's an end to prayer. It might be the beginning of supplication with thanks, or probably you're going to end up in some kind of proclamation. Thanksgiving, rejoicing. This is my word. Thank You for this word. I'm just going to read it to you again. And the act of reading it out brings your spirit to a place of agreement with God, where an expectation then grabs hold of you and it fuels that next few weeks of your development, because you know, I need to become the embodiment of this, because that's my part. The second part of your voice is declaration. There comes a point, declaration is always against the enemy. There comes a point when you've got to wage war with the prophecy, 1 Timothy 1:12. By these prophecies previously spoken over you, fight a good fight. Prophecy is a sword in your hand. And sometimes you've got to take that word with you when you go out on a mission trip. You've got to take that word and you've got to declare to the enemy, this is who I am. This is who I am. So I'm just giving you fair warning right now. Don't mess with me. This is who I am. And I have the Lord Jesus with me. I have the Holy Spirit with me. I have the Father with me. I've got all these witnesses. We outnumber you, angels to demons, 2-1. Don't mess with me. There comes a point when you have to own your own authority and your word gives you permission. You've got to declare it to the enemy. It's got to become part of your war cry. Because you know what the enemy's going to do? He's going to look at you and say, has God said? You betcha. I've got it right here. Do you want me to read it to you? Has God said? Here's the thing. The moment you stepped into Christ, you became an overcomer. So you're learning how to overcome. So you're learning how to fight from victory, not towards it. And we're learning, we're on this road between being an overcomer and learning to be more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror means that when you get into a battlefield, the enemy is the one that doesn't show up. And so you win by default. You're more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror is when he doesn't show. Comes a point when you need some no-shows in your life. We did a conference in Vacaville in California, my home church there, in 2011. And it was called The Art of Thinking Brilliantly. It's one of the best events because we're just talking about the mind of Christ. And what was fascinating is, in that whole event, the enemy was a complete no-show. But more than that, there wasn't a crime committed in Vacaville the whole time that conference was going on. And so I end up on Monday or Tuesday, I'm in St. Arbuck's getting a coffee, hearing a couple of state troopers saying, man, that's the weirdest weekend ever. Yeah, it's like the one guy saying, yeah, I've never been so bored in all my life. Not one single crime in the whole city. The enemy was a no-show. He didn't show up. See, when your prophecy, when you use it against the enemy, it becomes the place of your confidence. It opens you up to majesty. You learn how to talk from victory, not towards it. And you're learning with your prophecy, when you fight with the prophecy, you're learning how to be steadfast. You're learning how to be immovable. You're learning how not to be tossed to and fro. You're learning how to live in the present as though the future is guaranteed. And you're learning how to receive under pressure. I was in Malaysia, and we're doing this conference with leaders, and it was in Muar, Johor, and we had this property, and to get into the property, you had to run the gauntlet of like hundreds and hundreds of shouting Muslim guys, and so you were getting like pushed around and slapped and punched and on your way in, and this is a five-day conference. So it's like, you run the gauntlet. So day one, we're full. On day two, we have a third less people attending. By day three, we're down to like about 100 people. And all around us, there are just hundreds and hundreds of people in the streets shouting and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then back home, my secretary, Carol Shires, She's an intercessor. She's realizing he's in trouble. So we gather a whole bunch of intercessors and they start praying through the night. And they're praying for angels to show up. Because we're outnumbered here right now. So they're praying for angels to show up. So it's like on the fourth day, bunch of people, we've all been knocked around and we're all gathered together and the whole conference is flat. And we're praying, and I walk out into the corridor to get a glass of water, and I walk past this table that has a fax machine on it. And as I'm walking past it, the fax machine comes to life. And it's a message from Carol. And she's saying, the Lord said that he has sent hundreds of angels to where you are. Now, what was fascinating about this message was, the message was brilliant. What was amazing was the fax machine wasn't plugged in. So I take this thing into the conference and I start to read it out, and the Spirit of God begins to fill the place, and we have this urge to go outside, and there's not a living soul on the streets, but on every building all around there are angels. Here's the thing. For those 3 days, there were several of us, and all we were doing were waging war with our prophecies. Lord, you said. You said I was an overcomer. You said I was a Caleb. You said I was a man of a different spirit. You said I would fight and win. You said I would fight from victory. All we were doing was declaring who was proclaiming who we are to the Lord, and then declaring to the enemy, this is what God has spoken over us. What else are you going to do? No, really. What else are you going to do? We live by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. And faith comes by hearing. You need to hear your own confession. See, declaration makes us defiant. The declaration is, God said it, I believe it, that jolly well settles it. Sometimes you need to shout to God with the voice of triumph. And you need to quote your own prophecy that he quoted to you. Third part of your voice is about confession. You know, prophecy becomes the certain sound in a world of uncertainty. And it's that you need the voice of confession to your circumstances. Prayer, very often I've taken a prophetic word and I've turned it into a prayer so that I can pray it, I can proclaim it, I can worship over it. Confession means to say the same as, to agree with. And your confession is not internal and silent. It has to be vocal, and occasionally it has to be loud. You have to acknowledge openly by way of celebration and praise. Confession is a party in your heart. This is who I am. This is who I am. It's a wonderful thing to stand before the Lord and say, I know who I am in this situation. And so I declare this and I proclaim this, because you release something out of who you are. So you have to find yourself. Philemon 6 says, the fellowship of your faith becomes effective. How? Through the acknowledging. That is the recognition and the celebration of every good thing that is in you in Christ. It's not enough just to recognize it. You need to celebrate it. This is who I am. I'm trying to figure out how to land this plane. Now, Hebrews 7:25 says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Just exactly what it is do you think he's praying for you? What if he's praying about your promise? What if he's quoting your promise to the Father? What if he's praying about your process? What if he's reminding the Father of who you are? Here's the thing about circumstances. You know, if you're in Christ, so are all your circumstances. So you need to look at them that way. That very often, God is arranging our circumstances so that we can learn how to become like Him. And your prophecy keeps you on track with the Spirit when your flesh is whining and wanting to give up. It's your confession often that empowers you to abide and to stay and to dwell and to remain. Your confession makes your abiding more real, more personal, gives it strength. So what prophetic words have you received? You need to write them out. You need to look at the key descriptions of you. What is God saying about you? How is He describing you? How many times does a certain word or a certain phrase occur? Because if God says it once, it's enough. If He says it twice, that's fascinating. If He says it three times, that's amazing. If He says it four times, it's the equivalent of Him getting hold of you and shaking you and saying, I am really serious about this. And you need to be asking the Holy Spirit, so what is the process that will allow me to fulfill these words? To step into the identity so that I can become the person that God saw when He spoke it. Prophecies and promises are an accelerant. They help to speed up your journey and speed up your responses. They are spoken to you to create momentum and increase your movement in the Spirit. 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slow about His promises, but we are. He's faithful to fulfill His word. So here's the thing. Stop collecting prophetic words. You don't need any more words right now, some of you. You need to get them out and look at them. And you need to be asking the Lord questions. You need to enter into a dialogue with the Father. You need to understand that when God spoke those words, a process began whether you understood it or not. And you're in that process right now. And it's the process that makes you rich, not the outcome. Because the process is about relationship. The process is relational. It's where you learn to walk with the Lord. It's where you learn sensitivity. It's where you learn that long, slow obedience. It's where you learn to say yes, because you know God wants to say yes and amen to you. Guys, this is the place where you learn to be converted into the man or woman that God saw when He gave you that prophecy. If you don't want to enter into the process, the training, the series of steps that takes you from A to B, then the word will never be fulfilled. And you'll die a disappointed person. I have known people like that. I've known people who 20 years have gone by and they're no further towards the fulfillment of that word than they were at the start. But they haven't really gone through any learning or conversion process. All prophecy is relational. It's about you becoming like Jesus. So, I have permission from the Father to pray for acceleration. It's part of my assignment. I carry a quickening spirit as part of my own prophetic domain that God has given me in the Spirit. So this is what it means, though. So let me give you the government health warning first. What it means is God may give you 5 years' growth in 1 year. It means what you thought would take months would take weeks. What you thought would take weeks would take days. What you thought would take days would take hours. When God steps in and that quickening spirit is released, you'll be learning how to run. And things will come thick and fast. So you'll need to get into proclamation, declaration, and confession. You'll need to start having conversations with the Lord. some of your circumstances right now need to start falling to you because you're learning how to overcome. So I'm warning you, you're going to have to run this year. In the next 12 months, you're going to be running, not walking. Because you need to make up for lost time. And so there's an acceleration on you, which means you can learn things quickly. It means your obedience has to be more pronounced. And you're going to have to live by your yes. And you're going to have to learn yes. You're going to have to learn the yes of God to you, yes and amen. Everything's yes and amen. But you're going to have to learn the power of your own yes towards the Lord. Second warning I need to give you is, if you stand up now and say, I want this, and you change your mind in 2 weeks, he's not going to pay attention to you. He's going to commit you to a process. I'm serious as a heart attack. It's one of those moments where you can't blame the prophet. It's time to run. It's time to run. Here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. He is so excited right now. He is so excited. He is so excited to have you in this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release, and I want to say that all those who are listening right now, that you're not present in the building, but you're listening, you are so included right now, which is a polite way of saying, you ain't getting away with it either. Not that you want to. I release right now into the heart of every person listening, I release a state of grace that includes astonishment and wonder. Astonishment and wonder.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. That's all for today. God bless.